Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne, a fellow pet lover and veterinarian. And we've got a great show for you today, folks. Our first guest is Joe Volpe. Hi, Joe.
Hi there.
And welcome to Smart Animal Talk. And I know that you've got a great product called the Pet Deck. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the Pet Deck, I basically invented it about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, trying to solve the problem of safely and comfortably carrying dogs in the back seat of vehicles. I'm an engineer, is my background in automotive, and I realize the seats are getting smaller. And most of the seats nowadays are contoured, they're bucket seats. And so
right.
It's comfortable for people, but not for pets. And they're highly
okay.
sloped, so the dog's always trying to claw its way up forward. Plus, you've got the big problem of the open footwell. On a fast stop, your pet's going to end up in that footwell. So the Pet Deck was designed to solve all of these problems and yet be easily usable by people.
So what can you tell our pet loving listeners a little bit more about it as far as what it's made of and the size and how they use it?
Well, I think the simplest way of visioning it is think of a large picnic cooler lid that's about 2 foot by 4 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And of a polypropylene plastic, let's call it that for simplicity. And it folds in the middle. So it starts out at 23 inches by 48. It folds to 23 by 24, 4 inches thick, and it goes in the trunk. And what the goal was then, we had to put legs in the front to keep it from tilting down into the footwell area. So built in are adjustable height folding legs. They go from 12 inches to 19 inches. To handle the variance in heights of car seats and truck seats. And underneath in the back, it's not really noticeable in the photographs normally, is there's blocks molded in back there that are 2 inches high. And the purpose of those is to tilt it up, to take up to 100% of the slope out of the back seat. The
okay.
end result is we end up with just about 8 square feet of comfortable surface, flat, level, so forth, for the dog to lie on or a pet cage to go on, so forth. We've made him very comfortable. We've protected him from the footwell area, and it's flat, so he doesn't have the bumps and so forth that I mentioned earlier in bucket seat contours.
I see. Now, what does this object weigh?
It weighs 12 pounds.
12 pounds.
And
it's made of?
It's made of a type of recycled plastic, okay? Technically, it's a blow mold. I won't get into the technicalities.
Okay.
It's extremely strong.
So it's not too heavy for people to carry. Now, does it come in a variety of colors and sizes?
No, we basically just made it one color, all right, to start with. And it's kind of what they call a fawn color. It matches most of the interiors. It comes with a machine washable carpet that just rolls out on it, and that carpet grips the surface of the Pet Deck so it's not slippery. And that is gray. And so that, whenever you want to, you can throw it in the washing machine, hose it off, or vacuum it off. Doesn't really matter. It's just very simple to use.
So it's easy to clean, and it doesn't weigh too much, and it's a neutral color that goes with most things. Now, what about the size of the dog? Is this applicable for, you know, a poodle, a German Shepherd? Are there size constraints as far as the actual pet?
No, essentially what we've done is duplicate the carpeted area of your living room in the back seat. We've increased it now to 8 square feet. Most back seats are about 5 square feet if you actually measured them. So we've increased the space by 40%. And being 23 inches deep, there's plenty of room for the dog to lay down because the normal seat is about 15 inches deep. So the weight factor, 200 pounds with no problem. So one dog, two dogs, We've had 150-pound St. Bernard back there. It's just basically impossible to break it. It won't flex. It won't bend. We guarantee it for life, but in reality, it's over-engineered because of that. We don't want it breaking.
I see. Now, does this eliminate the need for a little pet safety belt, or is that something that the person would have to get in addition, or how does that work, Joe?
We always recommend that all dogs be strapped in, and in some of the states now, I think New Jersey has a $140 fine if the dog isn't safety leashed in. And it's a good idea because, like every dog I've ever owned, you open the door, it wants to jump out. And if you're near traffic, there's a big danger in that. So by leashing your dog in from a safety standpoint, it solves two problems. Keeps him comfortable, so forth.
I see. Now, when you're referring to leashing the pet, what I'm trying to figure out is how would they secure the pet with a leash? Is there something in the pet deck, a snap or a hook to allow the person to do that, or how does that work?
A good question. There are dozens of safety leashes sold on the market right now. Some go to the headrests, some go to the seatbelt harnesses. We don't block the seatbelt harness. So the units out there snap into the existing seatbelts, and then they go to the dog. Some hook onto his normal collar. Others have a harness. Some have rings coming off the bottom of it. There's all different types out there depending on your size of the dog and what you want for your pet to keep them safe. You would then just buy one commercially. I've seen them from $5 to $20.
And basically any of the pet restraint units that are available would be compatible with the pet deck.
Absolutely.
I see. Now what does the pet deck sell for as far as cost?
The pet deck right now, most of the places, the catalogs that are selling it are about $129.95, including shipping.
Okay. And is this a product available in the United States, or where would people go to find a little bit more information out about the pet deck?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.petdeck.com. That's PETDEK.com. We're also in, if you just were to do a Google search on the name Pet Deck, you'll see a dozen or more of the companies that sell the Pet Deck, the catalog companies.
So it's widely available.
It's widely available. We've sold in just about every state in the U.S. We've sold into Canada. I've sold to Japan, Germany, Belgium. Matter of fact, we just signed and shipped a large shipment to Israel.
Wow, we'll see that even dogs in Israel have to travel
correct.
In comfort.
That's correct. Yeah, we're working on England right now, and we're working on Australia.
Well, that's it sounds like a wonderful unit that would be helpful to many pet owners in transporting their pets. And the other thing that's kind of interesting about the pet deck is that in addition to using it for your dog to travel, it's got several other type of potential uses as well.
That's absolutely correct.
People
who buy them strictly for carrying coolers and luggage and golf clubs and pizza, and one cake company bought them for carrying wedding cakes in the back seat.
Okay. Well, Joe, I'm going to ask you to hang on, and I'm going to ask all of our pet-loving listeners to hold on just a minute for this brief station break, and we are going to be right back with a little more smart animal talk. I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne, and stay right there. Don't turn the channel.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. Nuvet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne, and we are talking to Joel Volpe. He is the owner and creator of the Pet Deck. Welcome back to the show, Joe. And we were discussing the Pet Deck, and you were telling us a few more things about this nice little unit. Go ahead. You were mentioning air and as far as where it was manufactured. What else can you share with us about this nice little unit?
Well, one of the most important things about the Pet Deck is it takes 1 minute to install it or 1 minute to remove it. You basically just open it up, slide it across the seat, drop it down, pull the two legs down. If they're preset for your seat, you just store them that way, and you're done. You're installed. Right? As compared to other systems like rugs and covers and hammocks and different things like that that take quite a bit of time to put in. I already mentioned it folds in half, so you just put it in your trunk when you're not using it. We have it made in the U.S. By Lifetime Products in Utah. They're the largest plastics company in the U.S., as far as I know. We use recycled materials. The legs are made in St. Petersburg, Florida. The carpet comes from Minnesota. So it's a product that's totally made in the U.S., supporting U.S. workers. We don't block the AC vents in the rear seat. The Pet Deck also works on minivans with split bucket seats. You can bridge that gap with no problem whatsoever. It will carry the load if you have separate bucket seats. And one of the things I get asked is people say, well, look, I have an SUV and the seats fold flat in the back. Why do I need the Pet Deck? And I point out the worst thing in the world to do is have your dog back there intermixed with cargo, luggage, picnic coolers, whatever it might be, and you do a panic stop. The dog's going to get crushed. So we say, we leave the back seat up. You put the Pet Deck and in the back seat with your pet, whether it's in or out of a cage, and that rear seat then acts as a barrier to everything else you want to put back there for a trip.
Well, that's a very interesting point. Something that our listeners might not be aware of, if you're in a car with a dog that's not restrained. Let's say you have a 10-pound dog and you're going about 50 miles an hour and you have an accident, that pet would fly forward with an effective weight of about 833 pounds. So the seatbelt issue and proper restraint of pets is becoming quite a big deal. And I think that this Pet Deck is certainly something that is in the right step to help people figure out the best and the safest way to transport their pet. And keeping in mind, certain states, for example, Arizona, Connecticut, Maine, and New Jersey, are issuing fines going anywhere from $250 to $1,000 for drivers caught driving with their pets in their lap. So I think that this pet deck has a very, very definite place in the pet industry. Now, I know that this unit, in addition to making your pet more comfortable while he or she travels, is very versatile and can be used for other applications as well.
Yes. Down here, I live in Florida, although we ship out of Utah. It gets hot in here, so you can't really hot down here. You can't put groceries in the trunk down here. So you put them in the back seat on the pet deck and travel with them that way. And since we're covering the footwell area, you don't have to worry about them stopping, falling into the footwell area, and getting damaged. If I might go back to your very good comments on safety.
Sure.
What people don't realize is when they have that dog in their lap between them and the steering wheel, if there's an accident and that airbag goes off, it's going to crush the dog. If the dog is heavy enough and it's in the front seat on the right and it triggers the weight allowance, because a lot of the cars now say if there's not a certain person of a certain weight sitting there, don't fire the airbag. If that's a heavy dog in that right front seat and once again the airbag goes off, the dog's going to get seriously hurt if not killed. So no matter what product, it's best to put the dog in the back seat and safety harness him in.
Absolutely. Now, what about folks that have small children? Is this something that you could use with a children's car seat as well?
No, we purposely say you can't do that. It's not because of the pet deck. It's actually in the instructions for car seats. They don't even want a blanket underneath them. And so we have to tell people, no, you cannot use a car seat on top of the pet deck, mainly because of the liability that goes with it. And once again, it's their requirements, not my requirements. The pet deck certainly can handle the child there, but we just can't recommend that.
Sure, absolutely. And this product comes with a guarantee as well, is that correct?
It carries a lifetime guarantee. Yeah,
so if somebody has a problem with the unit, how would they handle that?
They just contact us and we'll find out what went wrong and replace the unit. I've never replaced a unit, at all. The only time we'll get a return is somebody doesn't read the instructions that we need 23 by 48 inches. They'll try and put it into a two-seat convertible or a small two-seater. It won't fit. There isn't 23 by 48 inches back there. That's basically our only return that we get.
I see. Well, it sounds like you've got a wonderful device. And with the holidays upon us and all the people getting ready for New Year's traveling with their pets, I think that this is a unit that's worthy of consideration by all kinds of pet owners from coast to coast.
I certainly hope so, and we're doing quite well with sales. It's been a great product to bring to the market. Like I said, it took me about 4 years to get through all the engineering in it, the molding. It's very, very intricate in the molding. And, of course, we wanted to do it in the U.S.,
and made in the USA, which is absolutely terrific, but available on a global basis. And can you tell our listeners one more time, Joe, how people can find out more about the pet deck and contact you if they're interested?
Yes, our website is www.petdeck.com, PETDEK.com. Or they can just do a global search on the word pet deck, and they'll see all the different catalog companies that sell it.
Well, Joe, I thank you very much for joining us today. And remember, if you're looking for a great way to transport your pet, try PetDeck.com. I'm your host today. I'm veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and we have opened a beautiful integrative center of veterinary wellness right here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. We combine traditional therapies with the milder, natural Eastern therapies to try to offer pets the best of both worlds. If you're interested in finding out more, give us a call toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. You can also visit me online at carolonpets.com. Now, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, because we're going to have a short break and we're going to be right back, and we've got some more exciting people ready to chat. So we'll be back in just a minute with Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that
I really do.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
I'm your host, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and we've got a great show today. And right now we've got some pet-loving listeners calling with pet questions. And our first caller, Samantha. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Dr. Carol. I had a question for you. I have an older Cocker Spaniel, American Cocker Spaniel, and he's developed a chronic cough. And our current vet has put him on, I think he's called it, bronchodilators or something.
Okay.
And I was wondering, is there anything else you could recommend to help him out, because he's still coughing.
Okay. Now how old is this little guy?
Oh gosh, I think he's going on 14 or 15 now.
Okay. And what's his name?
Cubby.
His name is Cubby. Okay, so we've got Cubby. And he's a 14-year-old Cocker Spaniel, and he's got a chronic cough. Now, there's various reasons for coughing. Things that you want to look out for, number one is you want to make sure that the dog is tested to be heartworm-free.
Okay.
You should have had a complete blood panel taken, as well as chest x-rays, to verify the status of his heart and lungs. Making sure that there's not fluid in his lungs, which is definitely, you know, would cause a chronic kind of a wet cough.
Okay.
Now, the bronchodilators, has he been on bronchodilators for a while?
We just started them maybe a month ago, or no, 2 months.
And does it seem to be helping a little bit or not a lot?
It helps a little, but not like it. We've had to up the dose pretty regularly, and he's now up to, I think, a pill in the morning and a pill and a half in the evening of the bronchodilators.
Okay. A couple of things I can tell you. One thing is you may have to get a further workup to document the underlying cause for that chronic cough. Usually in an elderly dog like that, we would be talking about a heart condition, fluid in the lungs, certainly something you don't want to think about, like cancer, would also be a potential differential diagnosis. But what can you do just for coughing kind of in general? Bronchodilators, yes. These are agents, both available by prescription and natural, that open or dilate the air passageways from the mouth and nose to the lungs. Certainly there are prescription bronchodilators, aminophylline and theophylline being two examples. And there are some natural agents that we can use. One is called NAC. It's a natural amino acid available over the counter. It stands for N-acetylcysteine. About 300 milligrams twice a day by mouth, not only does it open up the airways, but it's a natural mucus eliminator, so it helps to reduce the mucus production in the trachea and bronchi, which can help to, you know, relieve that cough a little bit. Now, other things that you might want to think about, honey, homegrown local honey is always best, but a half a teaspoon 3 to 4 times a day. It's a natural cough suppressant. It's very soothing. Coconut oil, 1 teaspoon per 10 pounds, maybe half a teaspoon in the morning and half at night. And if you have a dog that might like to enjoy a little cup of sage leaf tea, that's also a natural cough suppressant. You can make a cup of tea for yourself and your dog, let it cool, put in a little honey, and see if he wants to drink a little bit of that. Vaporizing the room. The inexpensive way to do it is to just steam up your shower and then sit in there with your dog maybe for 5 or 6 minutes a couple times a day. Another consideration, Samantha, would be to consider an ultrasonic cold mist diffuser. You can buy those. They're not terribly expensive. And you could, for example, put eucalyptus oil in. Or even something like Vicks VapoRub to just get that mist in the air and kind of, you know, relieve him just a little bit.
Are these all things that I can pair with the prescription that he's currently on?
Do you know what he's on, if it's theophylline or aminophylline perhaps? Or not,
well,
not sure.
I'll go look at the bottle.
Okay.
I think it's called... aminophylline.
Okay, aminophylline is a standard bronchodilator. And do you know, Sam, if this dog, if it's a dry kind of hacking cough or if it's a wet kind of moist cough?
I would say it would be, he definitely, there's some moisture to it because occasionally he'll cough up some phlegm, like frothy kind of yellow froth.
Okay, and that's an important differential, a wet kind of moist cough versus a dry hacking cough. Your dry hacking cough, kennel cough would be a classic example of that. A moist cough, you'd be looking more at a heart and a lung type situation. So again, you may have to go back to the vet and have a chest x-ray, perhaps an echocardiogram or even an EKG to try to get to the bottom, you know, to get to the bottom of that. But again, your key things here is suppressing the cough naturally with things like honey, coconut oil, and sage leaf tea. Natural bronchodilators would be your N-acetylcysteine as opposed to aminophylline, which would be a prescription bronchodilator. Vaporizing is always helpful. And I think in this case, Samantha, we want to take another look at the chest, in particular the heart and lungs, to see if maybe there's a little heart issue that we need to treat to relieve that fluid burden on the lungs.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very, very helpful information.
Well, you're very welcome. And let us know what happens with QB and how that works out.
Oh, thank you. I will.
Well, that sounds very good. Now, is he on any other medications?
No, it's just the bronchodilators, and you know, just watch his exercise. I think that's where our instructions. So, I just didn't know if there was any other supportive, holistic kind of approach that we could take to it. So.
We usually add antioxidants in, and in a dog like this, we've got a product called Paws. It's a natural patented vitamin supplement that's very comprehensive, that helps to support their body in many, many ways, which has worked very well in a lot of these older dogs. Some things in a 14-year-old dog, just in general, Samantha, as far as vaccinations, I would put those off on a side burner. Over-vaccinating animals like this sometimes perpetuates chronic underlying disorders. In this case, a cardiovascular situation dealing with the heart and lungs. And also with respect to a moist cough, you want to go with a low-sodium diet. Again, trying to decrease that fluid buildup on the lungs. And with respect to that, when you do see your vet, you might ask him about Lasix. Lasix is a diuretic. It's given by mouth, and again, it helps to get that fluid out of the lungs. We urinate out the excess fluid, and then when the fluid is gone, you can breathe a little more easily. So you stop coughing. So hopefully those tips will help you and QB a little bit. And you give us a call back and let us know how QB's doing, okay?
Oh, will do. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Samantha. And I'm your host today, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and we are here with Smart Animal Talk. We talk about all kinds of animals, all kinds of situations. So if you've got a dog, a cat, a ferret, heck, even a chicken, give us a call, tell us your questions, and we'll do our best to give you a great answer. So stay tuned. We've got a brief station break, and we will be right back with more from Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I really do.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-caller technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecaller.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net. Where dog whisperers are trained.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host today, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and we've got a great show. And right now we've got a caller on the line. Welcome to Smart Animal Talk. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. So I have a few different questions, but I'll start off with a more broad one.
Okay.
I have a few different questions about cancer, even though my dog doesn't have it. But so I was just wondering what diseases my golden doodle will be the most prone to besides cancer, and then I'll ask some cancer questions.
Okay. Well, tell us about your golden doodle. What's his name?
His name is Joseph. He's a golden doodle cross, I believe. So he's not directly poodle and golden retriever. But
okay.
Yeah, he's 5 and I just adopted him and he's very, very healthy. But I just, I would like to know what I should be looking out for and what would be the most likely illness that he would get. So is there a common one besides cancer, or is cancer the most prevalent for
Well, that's a great question, Lindsay. First of all, for all of our pet-loving listeners, golden doodles, are little designer dogs, certainly developed by crossing a golden retriever with a poodle. Lindsay's trying to figure out, I think, how to keep Joseph as happy and healthy as she can, and what diseases this little dog might be genetically prone to, so that she can work out a preventative protocol schedule for this dog to try to avoid avoid getting diseases that he might be predisposed to. So going to the golden retriever side, yes, certainly at this point in time, cancer is the leading disease hitting goldens. It's also the number one killer of pets today. But specifically on the goldens, a couple things to keep in mind. They tend to have eye problems. And if you were buying a purebred golden retriever, we normally have the eyes examined. The breeder is supposed to do that by a board certified ophthalmologist to verify the health, you know, of the eyes. The second thing that we normally look at is the hips. Again, both parents should have been OFA, which is the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals. What you want is both parents should either be rated at an excellent, which is the best, or a good, which is second on the scale. My recommendation as a veterinarian is I would not recommend purchasing a puppy whose parents didn't have hips that were at least excellent to good. I would not go down to the fair level. And another disorder that these little goldens get, which unfortunately can start rearing its ugly head at about 6 months of age, and I don't think you have to worry about that, Lindsay, is epilepsy. Epilepsy is a condition whereby an animal has multiple seizures. And when they have more than one seizure after a period of time, we simply refer to that as epilepsy. And again, very common, especially in the young dogs, but it doesn't sound like that's something, you know, that you're going to have to worry about if he's 5 years old and so far seemingly in very good health. Just points in general that I can mention to you. Certainly the dog is already neutered, so there's nothing that you can do about that. But feeding him a good diet at least twice a day, visiting your veterinarian at least once a year, making sure that he's up to date on his shots but not over vaccinated. Right now, current protocols recommend shots at 3-year intervals, not yearly. There's a little bit of debate right now, or a discrepancy going on with over vaccination and that sort of predisposing. But leading to these chronic underlying diseases sort of coming out or being expressed, particularly in older animals. So I think when Mr. Joseph hits about 7 or 8 years old, depending on his health status at that time, be careful with your vaccines. Yes, it's important that they're healthy and vaccinated, but a lot of these vaccines produce a duration of immunity that is far longer than what is stated on the label. So there are antibody titers and things like that that we can do to verify protective immunity without actually giving the dog more inoculations.
I was also wondering about signs to look for cancer and the most common types of cancer in golden retrievers.
Absolutely. Lymphoma, which is also called lymphosarcoma, is a disease that usually starts in the lymph nodes and then does have the potential to spread throughout the body. That is the number one most common type of cancer in golden retrievers. What's the best thing to do? You know, take a good look at your dog, even if it's just for 5 minutes a day. Stand back and look at him from the front, the back, and the side. Then come right up to him. Take your hands and run them all along his body, on the top, on the bottom, looking for any lumps, any bumps, any areas of skin that just don't seem right or might be ulcerated. If you see a lump or a bump, that's the time to get it checked with your veterinarian. If that lump or bump grows quickly, if it opens, if it ulcerates, if it turns a funny color, that's usually not a good sign. And again, it's a sign to address with your veterinarian. If you do find a lump or a bump, normally as a veterinarian, we would take a little biopsy or remove just a little piece of tissue. We would send that into the lab for a histopathology, and then that would give us the answer. And as well as an exact diagnosis. those are the best things you can do, keeping your dog lean so that you can easily feel but not see each rib. At least 20 minutes of exercise a day, feeding a good comprehensive balanced diet.
That was another question. My dog is on Wellness Core, and I was wondering if I should, and then I also give him Dasaquin for his hips, but I was wondering if there's any other just multivitamin supplement or a specific supplement that would be good for him to take each day.
Well, wellness is a fine food. If that agrees with Joseph, I don't have a problem with that. As far as Dasaquin, that's a supplement carried in probably every veterinary office in the country. It's a combination of chondroitin and glucosamine sulfate that is helpful for many dogs. Certainly, there's a variety of daily supplements as well as arthritis supplements available through your veterinarian online as well as over the counter. And I think it's just
an arthritis supplement different than the Dasaquin?
Not really. Dasaquin is a natural combination of nutrients available over the counter, and there are prescription medications such as Rimadyl, which I recommend everyone to avoid. It tends to cause acute liver failure and spontaneous death without signs. I personally lost two patients on it. So Rimadyl and all those COX-2 inhibitors, I would steer clear of myself. And those are great questions, Lindsay. And we're going to talk more about diet and other great nutritional supplements for your pets. But right now, we're going to have to take a brief station break. I'm your host, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne, and it'll be just a few minutes, and we will be right back with some more great information on Smart Animal Talk.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry.
can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Carol Osborne, fellow pet lover and veterinarian. And with us right now, we've got Joe Barber. Welcome to the Smart Animal Talk, Joe.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. This is a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about chickens, my favorite, because I have a chicken farm. So we'll talk about chickens as pets, and they make wonderful pets, Carol, especially the silky breed. This seems like everybody loves the silkies because they look silky. And they're very easy to keep and fun to keep and not hard to keep at all. And there you can have a pet that only eats 4 ounces a day. So it's very economical.
Now, what's involved in keeping a chicken as a pet, Joe? Just give us a rundown.
Well, the best thing to do is make sure you don't get a rooster, because a rooster is going to crow all the time. That's where people run into problems. So so you can buy as few chickens as you want through the big hatcheries. They'll ship them to you through the mail. You just go to the post office and pick them up. And when you get them, you just keep them warm until for a couple weeks till they start growing their feathers. It's very simple. A big light bulb in a box will do it. And like I say, you get chick starter feed, which is it's granulated. It looks something like oatmeal, I guess. And you start them up on that. And the more you handle these a baby chick, the more they love it. And then they attach themselves to you just like any other, you know, dog or cat. And they love to be carried around and fussed with and the whole thing. And there's not any big deal. They're not stinky. They're not messy. A little place in your yard, like a little house and a little roost for them. And very small place. And that's all you need, really. And it's a up-and-coming thing. Everybody's got pet chickens that you talk to now. They got magazines out for backyard chickens called Backyard Poultry. Chicken magazine. Yeah.
So now, how long do chickens live?
Well, you know, there's reports of chickens living 20 years if they're kept right. And the average, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, they'll live a long, long time if they're kept right. 10, 15 years is an average, I guess, if you, you know, treat them right, whatnot. So, and I mean, it's the cheapest pet going. I mean, you know, for a couple of bucks, you got something that you're going to have for a long time. And believe it or not, they really, you know, they know you after a while. You know, when you go out, they come to you. They don't run away from you. They come to you. And they love to be held, like I said, and you can carry them around. And there's different breeds of chickens that are more pet worthy than other breeds, but the silky just jumps out as number one. They're very docile and they don't make any noise, the hens at all. And they're fun to keep and, like I say, carry around with you. And I see people, they buy these chicken diapers and they take the chicken in the house, they take the chicken for rides in the car. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that myself. I was wondering, can you litter box train a chicken? Or
no, I never heard of that. I've just heard that they get these strap-on diapers for chickens.
Strap-on diapers?
Yeah. Yeah, and they actually sell them in these magazines, Backyard Poultry and whatnot. You can see them in there. And so you can bring them in the house for extended periods of time and whatnot and not worry. And that's what people do.
Well, now, when you start breeding them, how does that work as far as from the time you lay the egg until the little chicken appears?
Uh-huh.
What kind of a time frame are people looking at?
21 days.
21 days. And uh-huh. And what's an initial investment cost for, you know, the food and the little chicken and all the little things that you need to accessorize?
Well, it's very, very economical. When you first get – I always recommend at least getting two baby chicks because they're like a social bird, you know, they when you're not around, they want to be with somebody or something. So always get at least two. And the hatcheries will, there's hatcheries that'll send you a minimum of two or three birds. I can't remember, but like I say, when you first get them from the post office, you're going to get them in a box and just have a box set up ready, you know, with, you know, 8 or 10 inch sides with it. And if you've only got one, two or three, you know, you just put in something like straw or large shavings and with a light bulb that hangs down so they can cuddle underneath that. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, they start growing their little feathers and whatnot. And then you have a bigger outside place, or once they get their feathers, they can pretty much take pretty good cold and whatnot. But as far as feed, you buy a 10 pound bag of feed. You can figure 4 ounces a day per chicken. So like I said, it's very economical and fresh water. And that's about it. And they'll eat your leftover salads. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, you know.
Now, you mentioned that the Silky is the most popular chicken for a pet. But what are a couple of other popular breeds that people are enjoying as pets?
Well, it all depends on what they do. Is they look at the chicken, and it's like buying a car, I guess. If you see something you like, that's the one, you know, that they'll go with. But a Silky, everybody, because they almost look like a furry teddy bear, so everybody loves a Silky. You know, the feathers don't look like feathers; they look like silk.
And what about their wings? Do they ever just fly away?
No, they don't. Not really. There's breeds of chickens that do fly really well, and there's other breeds of chickens. Most of them won't fly away, but if you keep them in a fenced-in area, you know, like a 3 or 4 foot fence, then they have their food and whatnot in the yard. They have no reason to fly away anyway, unless a dog or something, you know, harasses them. But that's the way to go with these. If you want a really economical, fun pet, you have just as much fun with them as a parrot, except they don't talk, you know.
Right. Well, now, for all of our pet-loving listeners out there that might like to know a little bit about raising chickens as pets and everything that goes with it, how can they get a little bit more information, Joe?
Well, the best way to do it is go to a bookstore like Barnes & Noble or any of those, and go into their magazine section and look for the magazines like Backyard Poultry or Chicken Magazine, because the magazine comes out monthly, and it's just for people with one or a dozen chickens or whatever, and it tells you how to take care of them, little tricks and little tips. And it's really, really, really easy, and it's fun with kids. It really is, because after 6 months, your hen's going to lay eggs.
Ah.
Yeah.
And how many eggs do they generally lay?
Well, usually they say one a day, and that's generally true. It'll run one a day. Sometimes they'll skip a day because they lay on a cycle of 24 to 27 hours. So it's usually like one a day, and they'll do that pretty steady for about 2 years, and then that's the end of their laying. They'll start skipping, you know, a few days and whatnot, and until they're about 4 or 5 years old, then they won't lay anymore.
Well, there you have it. So if you want a great, economical, inexpensive pet that's cute and fluffy, consider a Silky chicken. Joe, I can't thank you enough for joining us today, as well as our other guests, Joe Volpe with Pet Deck. Samantha and Lindsay are two pet question callers. And I'm your host today, veterinarian Dr. Carol Osborne. We welcome pet questions. We offer pet health consultations and have a beautiful veterinary clinic right here in Chagrin Falls. Give us a call, toll free, 866-372-2765. Visit us online at Carol on Pets or drcarol.com, and join us each and every week for Smart Animal Talk. And if you've got some questions, you want to ask your questions to a certain person, log on to allpawspettalk.com. In the middle of the homepage, you can put down your name, your phone number, as well as your questions and the host of your desire. And we will give you a call and bring you on air live to talk Smart Animal Talk with us. So join us each and every week. I'm your host. Thank you so much for Smart Animal Talk. And anytime you're